So when you were a kid, young person, teenager, whatever, were you the friend that was the bossy friend that tried to keep your other friends out of trouble? Or were you the friend that was always in trouble? Which one were you? I think I was the bossy friend that was always trying to keep people from doing stuff they weren't supposed to do. Not that I was free of sin by any stretch, but the really big stuff, I was really always trying to keep people from getting in trouble. Always trying to help people not be in trouble. So, interestingly enough, there's a little bit of information about this in the Bible where I was reading today, and I'm in Galatians 6, and it's Galatians 6, 1 through 10 that I'm looking at today. So, it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. So, and I'm going a little bit further, but there's a lot of people who believe that if we try to reach out and correct a friend who may have strayed off the path, that we're judging them, because there's scripture about judge not lest you be judged, and don't try to pull out somebody else's splinter out of their eye if you got a big old boulder of wood sticking out of yours. Yes, that's the Beth version. That's not straight to scripture, but you hear my heart. There's also a verse up here in James 5, 19 and 20. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So I think that's kind of good stuff. A lot of times we're like, okay, well, I know my friend has just twisted off and they've just gone down this horrible path and I can see it and I want to reach out and help my friend, but I don't want her to think I'm judging her and I don't want to be that friend, so I'm just not going to help out. So we got to help out. Because if you do have a friend that has wandered off from the path, then this scripture right here in James says that, you could help save them from death and will cover a multitude of sins. That's huge. And in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, again, I'm just giving you a little mini version of this. All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, reproof, for correction. It goes on, but I just wanted to point out that part about reproof and correction, and that's what the scripture is for. So if we have a friend who has wandered off the path, then we want to go to them in love, okay? The truth in love. There's a scripture about that. And we want to go to them with their best interest at heart and speak to them quietly, just us, and say, hey, sis, brother, I want to bring you back. I looked, when I looked this up, I saw there were a lot of verses, about rebuking a brother, helping somebody come back to the path. And I thought, well, why is that repeated so many times in the Bible? Why is there so much in the Bible that's repetitive? Not just on this particular topic, but on other topics, you can go through and find things about discouragement or fear or whatever, and you find them in multiple places. Why do you think that is? Have you ever given that thought? Because I've given that thought. And I'm like, if God wanted us to get that so much that he put it in there that many times, then it was the same thing as when your mama was trying to tell you something when you were a kid. Your mom and your dad, they gave you instruction and they told you the same thing every time. And you thought, golly, why do they keep repeating it? It's because we're slow. We're slow as a people and we have to be reminded and our memories are not good. So you remind and you remind and you teach and you teach and you teach and you teach, because just like our parents wanted the best things for us, God wants the best things for us even more so. So that's why these things are repeated so much. All right, so then verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to any somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Okay, we live in the world of comparing ourselves. And, you know, sometimes we just hear things out there, oh, you shouldn't compare yourself or don't compare yourself. But we still do. We still do it. We see something on social media and go, well, her life is perfect. His life is perfect. They're on this vacation. They're living this way. Their life is peaches and roses and sunshine. And manna falls down on their head from heaven. And they've probably won the lottery. You know, and your mind will twist off like that. And then all of a sudden, in comparing yourself to someone else, you feel terrible about what your life is. And so we hear other people say, don't compare, don't compare. But you know what? If all else fails, go back to the scripture, because that is of the Lord. You know, a lot of times we won't take instruction from someone else, but if God says it, then that's all there is to it. So in Galatians 6:4, you will want to memorize that verse. And every time you feel tempted to compare your life to someone else's, you know scripturally that God said not to do it without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Then go on, verse 6, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things in his instructor, and do not be deceived, God cannot be mocked, a man reaps what he sows, the one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction, the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So let's talk about that. In verse 6, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. This is talking about your pastor, the people that are leadership in your church. Sometimes it is quick to judge other people who are standing in a pulpit preaching to you, and it's like, well, they only work twice a week, and we pay them all this money, and you get all these weird notions. But I want to encourage you to pay attention to the word, because there's multiple times in the Bible that it also talks about sharing all good things with your instructor. That's talking about your preacher, your teacher, somebody who's sharing the Lord with you. You know, pay your tithes, pray for your preacher. Pray for your church staff. Take your preacher some vegetables. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I think the preacher had more food on his porch than we had in our cupboard, because somebody was always taking care of him. Because, see, this used to be taught more. And preachers now won't preach this much because they don't want to sound like they're trying to ask for something. And they don't want to sound like, oh, I need you to give money. So they kind of shy away from it. So if that's not being preached at your church, then know it's in the Bible. So that's all that matters, whether your preacher's saying it or not. It's in the Bible, so take care of your pastor. Take care of him. Do as much as you can for him. Pray for him. If you have nothing to give financially, that's fine. Give your prayers to your pastor, because he needs your prayers to be able to lead the flock. And then, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. You know, you don't go out and sow corn and get a pumpkin, right? You'd be pretty shocked if you went out there and planted a whole bunch of corn and pumpkins came up, okay? It's just the law of nature. Whatever you put in the ground is what's going to come up. You're not going to plant peas and get okra. It's just not going to happen. So whatever you plant in this earth is what you are going to reap. So if you are out planting good seeds are what's going to grow. If you're planting bad seeds are what's going to grow. So if you're planting good, you're going to get good. If you're planting evil, you're going to get evil. It's just how God designed things. So then it goes on saying, let us not become weary in doing good, for the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That is another scripture that a lot of people like to reference and learn and memorize. And I think that is a great verse to memorize, because it is so easy in this world to become weary in doing good. If we live in a world where everybody's doing bad, it's so easy to twist off and do bad with them, which takes us back to the beginning of this lesson. We've got to encourage our brothers and sisters in Christ to not twist off and go down the wrong path, because it is easy to become weary, but that's not what God calls us to do. He says, do not be weary in doing good, and that we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Do not give up. Do not give up. And it says, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. So the Lord is wanting us to know that at the proper time, we're going to reap a harvest as long as we don't give up. And he wants us to do good to all people, not just the people we like, but even the ones we don't like. That's hard. That's hard. But God calls us to do it. He calls us to do it. So I always say these lessons are more for me than for you, because there are some people that it's just really hard in my life to be nice to. You know, I've had people in my life that I'm just like, it's a true struggle to be nice to them. But that's what God calls me to do. So, you know, I have to feel, you know, I get conviction over that and I have to do something different. And, you know, if you have somebody who is on your heart, someone who you think has strayed from the path, go to them in love. Share the scripture and say, you know what, I felt convicted about this scripture. And I feel like I want to love on you and help you get back to being with Jesus and spending time with the Lord and going to church. You know what, when I was a kid growing up, it was nothing for someone to just flat out say, buddy, you need to be in church. You know, like if somebody just twisted off acting a fool, it was nothing for my parents or people of that day and time to go, you just need to get to church. You need some Jesus. Come on, let's go. But now we live in this weird society where everybody gets their underwear in a bunch if you say such things. But you know what? The Bible has not changed. God's message has not changed. It's just we have become wimpy in sharing what the Bible says. We're worried that it's not relevant anymore. We're worried that it might offend someone. We live in the land of everybody walking around with their feelings on their shoulders. Well, you know what? The word is here to convict us, to correct us. And you know what? If you're sharing it and you're helping someone come back to know the Lord and they have eternal salvation with Jesus, then it really doesn't matter what the world thinks. Be courageous. Share the word. Say what the scripture says. Don't worry about what the world says or what all the new fancy churches say, or let's just be all God is love and peaches and roses. You know what? God calls us to certain things, and the scripture is right here. Go read Galatians 6 and read what it says in here. So don't grow weary of doing good. Go out and share his word, but you've got to know the word first. So get your nose in the word and spend some time with Jesus. Have a great day in the Lord.